The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Colossians chapter 3. I recognize that this week we vote, and sometimes out here in California, we might feel like, well, good night, it's such a liberal state, but go ahead and make your voice be heard. And if you have a chance to visit paulchapel.com, my blog, you'll see some guidelines that I've given for voting, how a Christian should vote. We need to vote according to the Word of God. And we need to stand behind those men that are closest to the right principles. And some of the measures that you might be studying as far as some of the proposed taxations and whatnot, we have a voter's guide out in the lobby in the guest services counters. There's some voter's guides there that have been provided if you'd like to get one of those. Colossians chapter 3. And tonight we continue our preaching through Colossians, and we're going to be brief tonight. And I've preached from this passage many times, but tonight we come to it in our verse-by-verse study. And so follow with me tonight as I read Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Shall we pray? Father, tonight I pray that you'd bless these few moments now around your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us to seek the heavenly, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul has been reinforcing the hearts of the Colossians as he writes to them these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He has let them know that their life in Christ is superior to life with the law, to life with philosophy, to pagan religious practices, to all of the false teachings that they were surrounded with. Jesus Christ was superior. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the answer tonight for El Salvador, the answer tonight for America, is not necessarily a new president, though we pray for those right leaders, but the great answer is for new men. New men in Christ. Men who have been born again. Men who have Jesus Christ in their life. Who have a new nature. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And tonight, I want you to see what is new about the Christian life. The blessedness of the Christian life. As we consider this subject, seeking the heavenly. I want you to notice, first of all, in Christ, we have a new position. We have a brand new position in Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. The word if is connecting the thought that Paul had laid out in chapter 2. And he's reminding them that because of their identification with Christ, that they now have a new position in Christ. And based upon this position, the Bible says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. We have a position that is alive in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I'm glad I serve a risen Savior tonight. And I'm glad tonight that I'm alive in Christ. And we thank the Lord for this. The verb here in verse 1, if ye then be risen, means to be raised up together. And it means that Jesus Christ did this for us. And that we were with Him at the cross. Our sins were forgiven. How many of you believe your sins are nailed to the cross? And we're to identify with that cross. And we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And we were there with Him at the cross. And we were there at the resurrection. And we have a new position as resurrected Christians. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be raised also in the likeness of His resurrection. And so we have a new position in Christ because of the resurrection. We have a new position not only in the resurrection, but in Jesus Christ Himself. Notice it says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. We are alive not in the church. We are alive not in the traditions of men, but we are alive in Him, Jesus Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now understand something about the Adamic nature. My sinful nature, your sinful nature, what the Bible calls the old man, is only going to bring death and destruction and discouragement and depression and all kinds of problems. And whatever trouble you have tonight with yourself or with others may be attributed to your fleshly nature. And yet I want to say tonight, thank God that in Christ I have a brand new nature. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, listen, everything about the Adamic nature is old and brings death and sorrow, but Jesus Christ brings new life. Look at Colossians 2 again. Look at where we studied a few weeks ago, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, whereas also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. My friends, tonight, there is nothing good in me and in my flesh and in my Adamic nature. The only thing good about me is that Jesus Christ lives in me. And Jesus Christ brings new life. You remember the grace I talked with you about a moment ago? The ability to give grace to others is based upon Jesus in me. If I don't have Jesus, if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I can't give that which I have not received. But because he gave it to me, I can give it to you. I have new life. I am a new man. I can forgive. I can love. I can bear fruit that I never could have borne before. Why? Because Jesus is in me. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And let's be honest about it, your flesh and my flesh stink. We stink and we're rotten to the core in and of ourselves. But Jesus, the lily of the valley, saved my soul and came into my life. And if there's anything sweet about you or me, it's all because of Jesus Christ. There's a new position that I have. If ye then be risen with Christ, I have a new position. It's not that old stinky position. I have a new life. I don't have to be negative. I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to live in despair. I have Jesus in me, and he wants me to enjoy the new life that is found in him and him alone. I have a new position in Jesus Christ. And some of you, if you want to live in the grave clothes, and if you want to stay in the tomb, that's your choice. But the Bible says that we can come out of that, and that we have a resurrected life in Jesus Christ, a new position in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice, secondly tonight, not only do you have a new position in Christ, but you have a new purpose in Christ, a brand new purpose in Christ. Notice what it says in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you have this new position in Christ, then you have a new purpose and a new passion. And that passion is to pursue heavenly things. That passion is to seek the things which are above. Eternal value over temporal pleasure. Spiritual mindedness over carnal living. David said in Psalm 42 in verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? He said, I just can't help but think about God. I want to be with God. And even as a little shepherd boy out on the back side of the desert, watching his father's little lambs, David sang to the Lord, and he thought about the Lord, and he was a man after God's own heart, and he was pursuing heavenly things. And the Bible says, if you truly are a Christian, if you truly have been resurrected with Christ, then seek those things which are above. I got to tell you, you're not going to find a man in this room who's going to reach age 60 and 70 and 80 and say, you know what? I wish I would have worked another day. I wish I would have had another project. More than he's going to say, I wish I would have witnessed to my relative. I wish I would have spent time throwing ball with my son. I wish I would have taken my daughter out for a date when she was younger. I wish I would have done more for Jesus Christ. Listen, I thank God for that little book Dr. Sisk wrote entitled The Fourth Quarter. I can't tell you how many men I know in their 60s and 70s whose lives have been radically changed by that little book, who all of a sudden have realized, hey, I got to finish strong. I have a new purpose in living, and I'm not going to live just for what I can do on this earth. I'm not going to get to a certain point and then throttle back and live for myself. And that's what the average man thinks. I'm going to live so long, save so much, and then do what I want to do. Where are the men and women saying, listen, I want to live my whole life for Jesus Christ? I want to set my affection on the things that are above. Thank God for men who say, hey, I've got a little extra time in my retirement. How can I do something more for Jesus? How can I help this missionary? Maybe I could lay some brick in El Salvador. Maybe I could teach a song in the Sunday school. Maybe I could help some young couple with some need that they have. And if you're risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Oh, listen, we've had an emphasis this past week on missions and helping missionaries. I got to tell you something. If you're risen with Christ, if you're alive to what Jesus is alive to, then your whole heart says, I want other people to know Jesus Christ. I want to set my affection on the things that are above, because this matter of soul winning was so important to God that He sent His only begotten Son. And if Jesus would come down so that I might be saved, how can I set my affection on the things that God has set His affection on? And by the way, tonight, I'm thankful He set His affection on me, aren't you? He set His affection on us. And so we have a purpose. Our purpose is to pursue heavenly things. I think back to some of those that were saved in our church, and I think back of one dear man when he got saved. Not long after his salvation, he came and he gave me the keys to his motorhome. And he said, Pastor, I want you to have one of these deacons take this motorhome and sell it. And I want you to give the money and I want you to use it for the missions program. He said, I tell you what, before I got saved, all I wanted to do was drive all around America and put a little bumper sticker for every state on the back of my motorhome to show where I had been. But now that I am saved, all I want to do is stay around here and see more people get saved. You know why he said that? Because he was alive to spiritual things for the first time in his life. He hadn't had time to get carnal and crusty and complain about the Baptist and complain about this and that. He hadn't had time to get there. He was just too glad that he was saved. And I want to tell you, you ought to stay glad that you're saved. If you're risen with Christ, seek the things which are above. Love what Jesus loves. Stay thankful to the Lord for all that He's done. And rest your heart on those heavenly things. Notice it says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh, I think of that picture in my mind tonight. Christ at the right hand of God. Hebrews 10 and verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I got to tell you something. Jesus, the Son of God, is at the right hand of God the Father today. And I got to tell you what He's doing there. He's making advocacy for you and for me, because sometimes we don't set our affection on the things that are above. And sometimes we sin and sometimes we're prone to wander. But John said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I'm thankful tonight I have a defense attorney in heaven. I'm thankful I have an advocate at the right hand of God the Father. He's seated there in the heavenlies, and I ought to have my affection saying, thank you, Jesus, because every time that I sin and I deserve judgment and I deserve hell, Jesus says, but Father, I shed my blood for him. He's my advocate. He's at the right hand of God the Father tonight, and he's your advocate too. He's your high priest tonight. Miles Stanford, in his book, Principles for Spiritual Growth, said, in the beginning of the Christian life, we are mainly taken up with the externals of the Christian life. And many of us have been there. How we look, how we appear, what others think. And the Lord allows that for a time. Then in order to get us and our externals out of the way so that the Lord Jesus Christ can be everything, our Father begins to take away much of what we thought we had. Here begins the long cross-centered transition from doing to being. And I'm simply saying to you tonight that God wants you to be someone with Him. He wants your heart set on Him. He wants you to set your affection on the things that are above. His Word, He Himself, the things of this world will grow strangely dim to someone who has a heart for God and for the things of God. God says, I'm going to give you a new position, and that position is in the heavenlies. I'm going to give you a new purpose. I want you to set your affection on the things that are above. And then I want you to notice, finally, He says, I'm going to give you a new perspective. Notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse 2, set your affection on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. He says, I want you to focus on your new life. Set your affection on the things that are above. You must not only then seek the heavenly, you must also think of the heavenly. You must have a mindset that is thinking of that which Jesus wants us to think about. thinking of Him and praying to Him. I was thinking this morning as we sang beautiful songs this morning in the morning service. I was just trying to crowd out all the other cares of this life and just singing to Him and thinking about Him and lifting Him up. And you ought to do that tomorrow morning. Just take some time and really exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking only of Him. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which we faint not, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." Take time to think about the Lord. Take time to think about the eternal crowd that will be around the Lord, the many of the redeemed that will be there. Take time to meditate on the things that are heavenly. Focus on that new life. Set your affection on things that are above. And then secondly, forsake the old life. Look at verse 3. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Listen, we need to get to the place tonight where the things of this world are less attractive and the things of the next world are more attractive. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves not break through and steal." The Bible is very clear that we are to set our affection on the things that are above, and that we should recognize that we are dead and our life is hid in Christ. We're to be dead to this world and alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, someone without the Lord, that makes no sense. Their idea of fun is a weekend in Vegas. Their idea of fun is going out and seeing how much trouble they can get in. But someone that has the Holy Spirit begins to realize, hey, this world is not what it's all about. I want to live for the world to come. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I want you to think of it with me tonight. Look at what the Bible says in verse 1, and would you read verses 1 and 2 with me together? Ready, begin. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection..." Ladies, read verse 1. Men, read verse 2. Ladies, ready? "If ye then..." "Set your affection..." Why in the world you drive that old bus? Why in the world you go soul winning? Why in the world you give to the missionaries? Why in the world you go to church on a Sunday night? "Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And my life is resurrected in Jesus. I'm alive to Jesus. I'm growing weary of this world. This old sin, sick world doesn't have the attraction to me that it once had. But Jesus is sweeter and more with every passing day. I have a new perspective. It's a heavenly perspective. And what happens is that my children and my grandchildren know Jesus and see Jesus in me. And what matters is that my workers know Jesus and see Jesus in me. And I want them to know that what really counts is my new position is in Christ, and my new purpose is for Christ, and my new perspective is to set my affection on Jesus Christ." Someone might say, "Well, that guy's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good." I'm sorry to say I haven't met many Christians like that. But I've met a lot of Christians that are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. I've had to, "Well, I'll tell you what, I found a church where they just give us the 30 minutes on Sunday morning. We just do whatever we want the rest of the time. Woo-hoo! It's great." Yeah, it's great for an earthly minded Christian who wants more of this earth and who wants more football and who wants more of their this and their that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you really believe heaven's just around the corner, we ought to spend some time getting to know the one we're going to spend eternity with. Someone says of you, "Well, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good." They don't understand the Christian life. We're supposed to be heavenly minded. We're commanded to set our affection on the things that are above. Say, "Well, there's just a lot of things I could be doing differently, but I just don't know if that's what I want to do. Let me tell you what, when you make your decisions, when you decide how you're going to live your life, you ought to make your decisions based upon what has a greater eternal impact. What's going to matter for eternity, not just for this life. And I want to challenge you tonight to leave this room with that heavenly perspective and to seek the heavenly and to set your affection on the heavenly. And let's be a church that's really focusing on the things of Jesus Christ in this new week.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.